Fabrenger for Chayel, which obviously from many perspectives is the center point of who we are and what we are. Baal Shem Tov and Alter Rebbe, the transformation of the entire world happened through these Meiris Abdelim, the two big, enormous luminaries that came into our world in an exceptional way. So the practicality is that we can talk and, we're just very, very inspired for the last hour hearing various aspects of the Chayis and El, etc. And the mindset that we have to have to be Chassidim, to learn Chassidus, and the connection between Tenchet Mimim, Tuba El, and Chayel. And of course, all of that resonates to most of us as Chassidim, Shluchim, Chassidim, Balabatim, but people who recognize the extraordinary impact of Chassidus and the necessity of Chassidus, particularly in our generation. As Rebbe said in a number of occasions, that the Eibishter gives us that which we need at the particular time we need it. So during this period of time, why was this, so to speak, revealed in this period of time, in our time, this extraordinary period of Cheshach Kofulim Chupul, a real darkness. And as time goes on, the darkness becomes more evident. So you kind of think at some point that we're already in such a dark space, it can't get any darker than that. So you come to a point where, unfortunately, the world is shaking and trembling in a very serious way, as we all know, that the world, so to speak, is in a very precarious position on every level. And as you've heard so many times, probably in the last few months, that this is one of the only times, one or two, three, four times in history, where the entire world stopped. The whole world is paralyzed, so to speak. And get a reset button. And within this paralysis where you realize, doctors realize, scientists realize that there are many things that are beyond our capacity, beyond our grasp. It happens to be, from a personal point of view, I can just tell you very practically, you know, unfortunately, fortunately I came through it, but unfortunately I was the first patient in the University of Miami Hospital with COVID. In the middle of March 19, right after Purim. And when I was there, and the doctors came to see me, all dressed up in their big day kedesh, you know, you couldn't recognize who they are, like spacesuits. And the one thing that bothered me the most, that troubled me the most, was the fact that when they were talking to each other, they themselves didn't know what to do. Should we try this? Should we try that? And I said to them clearly, I said, it's very interesting to note that there comes a point in scientific reality where you realize that it's not up to us, it's up to a higher level. And you realize that, you see it in a very real way. And yet, it is in this time when the world is undergoing such a treacherous period, and such a, you might say, a journey that's really filled with the torrents of the, so to speak, the Mayim Rabim, the multitudinous stormy white waves that overwhelm the world, that under these circumstances, we continue to see darkness fall upon us in an unprecedented fashion. So the practicality is that we have to see what is Chayel, what Chassidus means to me and you in a practical way, in such a way that it also affects our environment. Of course, as Rabbi Shapiro said earlier, Chassidus doesn't change. The Baal Shem Tov's Torahs don't change. The Chassidus Chabad never changes. Circumstances, technology, application. Today you use Zooms. You know, in the time of the Alter Rebbe, there was no Zooms. They had to come to the Alter Rebbe. That's what he writes in Tanya. People had to come to visit. But in today's circumstances, it's a different world. So, but it doesn't change. At the same time, you realize that humanity, in a very important way, does change. You talk to young people today, and they have a whole different perspective. On a simplest level, in terms of manners, decency, behavior, you know, there's two different perspectives in educating a child, two different ways of an approach. And there's been studies done on it. You know, if a parent punishes a child, for example, disciplines a child, and the child cries, he doesn't want to get hit, the father hits him or punishes him, or so it takes away some of his privileges, and his child screaming and yelling, and it hurts him. And sometimes a child can express himself in a negative way. I don't like you, daddy, and I don't like you, mommy, and so forth. And sometimes even say words. That's one kind of reaction. Another reaction is when the child doesn't cry, doesn't scream, doesn't yell, he just says, I don't care. He becomes desensitized. Today, we live in a generation where I don't care. It doesn't matter. I'll do what I want. That's the world around it is. So how do you practicalize Chassidus today in our own lives? Chayis in Elul is a chayis in the whole year, the Rebbe said. Chayis in Elul, in Klalus Inyan of Elul. And the two versions that the Friedrich Rebbe said, and the Rebbe repeated many times, that the two versions is that Chayil get the chayis in Elul. That's one version, which means Elul and all the elements that Elul contains within it, that are articulated, then Teda and Tefillah and Staka and Tshuva, in some cases also the union of Geula, the Psukim, the various acronyms that all of these four, five elements represent. And the second version is that Chayel gives a highest in David of an Adil Adaydi Vedaydi Li. So the Rebbe said that we have these two perspectives. So if we're bringing it up to Lamed, I think Rabbi Shapiro can tell us for certain that he says to these two versions, they both mean something. They're both practical. It has to be. So what does it mean? Chayis and Elul and a Chayis and David of an Adil Adaydi Vedaydi Li. You say it's a chayis and elul, it also includes a nidividaydividaydili. And you say a chayis and a nidividaydividaydili, how about the other aspects of elul? What does that mean? So how do you reconcile these two factors? What does it mean? And to say it even in more, you might say, earthy terms, in the way that we can understand it in our lives, you say a chayis and elul, so you know in the morning you'll sit there, you get it in the morning, you'll hear Tefillah Shefe, this week you'll be more careful with Talmud Aminyan, maybe more careful with Chitas, more careful with Rambam, with all these factors, because as we know, the 12 days of Elul, the 12 days from Chayil to the Shoshanas, the 12 months of the year, and each day represents a month, so we're going to be a little bit more careful. Chayis and elul, as you heard earlier, is a life force, a transformation, a cultural change in your existence, a culture change in your being, that your life means something else. That's a total consciousness, a daily, constant consciousness of where you are and who you are and what we're about and what our mission is. So how do you integrate that? How do you make it practical? And how do you make it practical in such a way that's not practical at a Fabrengen? Tonight we're sitting by the Fabrengen, Chassidish Yidden, and we're saying L'chaim with each other, and we're so to speak, commemorating Tu B'Elul and Chayil. We're commemorating these important dates, which is very important. It's critical. And you have to bring it. Hayom Ne'elam is Korban Asim. You have to bring it to bearing. And not only that, but you started reminding yourself of the Rebbe's Fabrengens and how the Rebbe used to sing the Nigunim and what the Rebbe said, etc. And it gives you a little bit of a so to speak, an elevation. It gives you a little bit of an inspiration. And you feel something sometimes. And Fabrengen, particularly, you can feel something. You stay together, Shabbos Achad Gam Yachad, and even though we're looking at each other virtually, but somehow Zoom has taken on a life of its own. And virtual reality can also be reality, as we know. And you see each other, and you say L'chaim with each other, and you feel the other person is next to you and with you, so to speak. But how do you make that real? How do you make that into something that makes a difference in my life? In my life, you know, Fabrengen, as you said earlier, you know, you speak loud publicly because they ask you to say something, he say something. You know, that's our obligation. The obligation is that when you're told to do whatever you have to do, from the event, which means it doesn't matter. You like it or don't like it, you have to speak, you say it. But you think to yourself, so what's the pshat? So the Rebbe says, you know, if you know Aleph, you teach Aleph. If you know Aleph Beis, you teach Aleph Beis. What if you know Aleph and Aleph Beis and you want to teach somebody about chassidus? So what does that mean? So the Rebbe said many times that you don't have to teach where you're holding. You're teaching where you should be holding. So you're actually talking to yourself, and you're talking loud enough so other people can hear. So actually, when you're bringing tonight and any night, you try basically in the manner that you can, in the best way, without, of course, divulging your own private life publicly. You're talking to yourself. So how do you make it real? How do you make it something that occupies you on a practical level, on a real basis, on a daily basis, in your own life, and how you daven, and how you learn, and how you behave during the day, and how you act to a fellow Jew, and how you interact with your society, with your environment, and so forth, and how you fulfill your shlichus, and all of that. It's not something that you make up your mind that if I'm bringing, I make a good resolution, I'm going to do this, and so forth. You make up your mind for being here that I'm going to change my thinking pattern. I'm going to change my consciousness, my awareness. It has to be a complete transformative process. So how do you do that? And that's what chassidus demands. Whether it demands it from a perspective, also from the Friedrich Rebbe said that the objective of chassidus is also two versions in what he said, either l'shana teva midaisav, to change the nature of your midas, or to change the midas of ativim, change your natural midas. Now, nature and nurture, because hegel nasa teva, so we know today. So that's the objective. It's not easy. It's a tough job. It's not an easy process. It's an internalized change. But you consider the familia, in particular chayel, in particular now, I'm sure finish it off the year, tough shimpei, you come pay aleph already, and it's already a long time, and we're overdue, so to speak, for Gilui Mashiach, overdue on every level, the Gashmis, the Beduchmis, in society, and world, and politics. We're overdue, that's real. You think to yourself, it's enough already. So what happens? How do you transform that? How do you internalize that? How do you make it happen? So, of course, that was the objective of chassidus. So the Rebbe said, how do you interpret the concept of Elul? Chai Elul, the highest in Elul, generally. Chai Elul is the highest in Anid V'day V'day. So the Rebbe said, that's basically the nafkamina between the Baal Shem Tov and the Alter Rebbe. So we're chassidus Chabad, we have the Alter Rebbe, we have Chabad. So what did Chabad add to the process, besides the fact, and again, you know, Baruch Hashem, we had an hour of a lot of information, so I can build on it. So you just heard the people talking about the fact that Tenuas Chabad, that's remarkable. There's more shluchim today than ever before in history. There's not a space in the world that there's no Chabad. Chabad is now mainstream, no question about it. Even people who are so far away from Yiddishkeit that they don't even go to the Reform Synagogue, but they're like, Freud says to me, all my friends, they like Chabad. He says, but let me ask you a question. Do you also believe that the Rebbe is like God or something like that? And because, you know, they were told the Baba Mises, not Baba Mises, they were told the real Mises, but the Baba Shevet way. So they don't understand. They have no concept of what means Eibishter, what means a human, and so forth. I said to them, you know, it's not the Rebbe's day. You're also a piece of the Eibishter. Me, you know, they don't understand it. But today, Chabad is all over the world. There's no place that Chabad is not. Again, you know, with the jokes, with Coca-Cola, with the moon, etc., whatever you want to say. I know Balabatim that I know, people that are mamish, Litvishi Eden, serious Litvishi Eden, biggest supporters of the Litvishi environment. They now say that wherever you go, Chabad. I went into one of their houses. I happened to be somewhere. I went into a house of a son of a person who was mamish, one of the number one supporters of all of Misnagdim in the world, of Mir and Lakewood, etc. And even the heads of the programs were of these yeshivas were there too. You go into the person's house, and in the living room, you walk to the living room front, on the wall was a major picture of that other. You think to yourself, oh, how does that come? So from one perspective, you recognize that Chabad is all over the world, but there's an aspect of Chabad that's an internalized process. It's not just addressing an issue. It's addressing your whole internal structure, who we are, and what we're about, and what our souls and minds and hearts and behavior integrate. It's a complete different approach. So that's Chassidus Chabad. Chassidus, what did the Baal Shem Tov do? The Baal Shem Tov brought Chassidus generally. And the Rebbe said that the Baal Shem Tov, he brought all these Chassidus generally to the whole world. And there were Yireim, Shleimim, the Talmidim of Baal Shem Tov, were high-level holy people, no question about it. On the highest levels, Talmidim of Baal Shem Tov, and he had thousands and thousands of followers, came along, Devishta, and he brought on the Shema Chadasha, a brand new soul, because you have to bring a brand new concept into the world. What do you mean, brand new concept? The Baal Shem Tov already brought Chassidus. Why is Chassidus Chabad considered to be a brand new concept? So then he gives a whole hazard. Just like Tadish of Exavon, Tadish of Alpeh, Komash, Talmud Vasik, Asa, the Chagash, Nisan, the Vaishim, Sina, which means, what does it mean that a person says something new? The whole Tadish was given by Moshe Rabbeinu. There's nothing that wasn't given by Moshe Rabbeinu. It's what do you mean, he made a Chiddush? So you say that he made a Chiddush because he took out the potential from the potential. He took the practicality out of the potential. He took the klolim and he found a prat in it. And a prat that even Moshe Rabbeinu himself, so that he didn't know, like the Gemara says with Moshe Rabbeinu and Rabbi Akiva, that he didn't know all the diukim that Rabbi Akiva said that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't know them. So what if Shani didn't know them? He didn't practically know them, but in essence, it already came down from Sinai because there was nothing new, including the Terech Hadash Meditation that Rabbi said. Also came down of Moshe Sinai. Nothing really that didn't come down, and now a new revelation comes down, which means there's a new Matan Torah. There's a new Chiddush. That doesn't happen. It's already part of the whole process. What does it mean that there's a Chiddush? What does it mean that the altar was Machadish? And Neshama Chadashah, it's not just Machadish. It had to be a brand new soul that came into this world the first time in order to bring this powerful process. What was the powerful process of Chiddush? So what did Chabad do? Chabad was Chabad. Internalize that the chassidus of the Baal Shem Tov was a general chassidus. Tzadik b'menasa yichya. But you have to really serve the Eibishter. The Rebbe then brought two lishenis that the Friedrich Rebbe is sort of, he's a compartmentalized. These two concepts, he says, the Baal Shem Tov told us that one has to serve the Eibishter. I'm a darf din in the Eibishter. And the Alter Rebbe came, we may can din in the Eibishter, how you can do it. One says that you need to do it, one says how you can do it. What does it mean? What does it mean you need to do it when you can't do it? You need to do it means that you realize that you're the Eibishter is a shliach, that the Eibishter put you into this world, and you have a munah, and that munah impacts every part of your life. And every single thing you do is part of that emunah. That's why, by Pelech Chassidus, there's a big thing. You know, I happen to be at a chasana in Eretz Yisrael, and this chasana was the Gerer Rebbe, and he came out with a chassidim, you know, in the middle of the chasana, so they made a table for him. And you know, he sat down, and the whole olam was a massive olam. This chasna was an important chasna. The Gerer Rebbe himself came. There was maybe thousands of people. The room was only men. The men were in one hall, and the women were in another hall. That's how they were there. So he sat down, and in front of him was a beautiful, they brought out a beautiful, like a sponge cake, a big cake. And next to it was a silver bottle of, I think it was wine. And then they had about 10 little cases there. And he sat down there and everybody was crowding around. He didn't say one single word. Nothing. He said nothing. They sang a few songs. The Mechutanim was sitting there. The Chasim was sitting there. All of a sudden, they gave the Rebbe the knife. He took a big, beautiful silver knife. He cut the chas. I was there right in the front. I saw the whole thing. I was surprised. I never saw such a thing. He cut the cake, one cake, and he started giving it to this person, that person, and so forth. The chatanim, the chasim, and so on. There were a few people around. Cut the cake. Then he took the bottle and poured a little maskin and gave to each a little cup, and they each took a maskin, a little chayim. And then they did another song, and he got up and he walked out. That did not say one word. And that was the end. And the chayis and the lebedekite, who did you see? They were telling me, Zain Vusin Yishendo. I see, you know, to me, I mean, being seeing the Rebbe, you see this. Of course, you know, these are tzaddikim, so I'm not going to say anything. Chas v'shalom. I mean, they're big tzaddikim, and they have a big following. But it was a different world. It's a different perspective. The Rebbe, I mean, at the end of the thing, if he took the mezainis and gave a piece of mezainis to somebody, it was a big thing, and they made, everybody grabbed a piece of mezainis. But what was the Rebbe's forbidding? The Rebbe's forbidding was isfarasim in aid, that a person had to understand what's going on in his life. See, the Chabad indicates a system of how to serve the Eibishter. What's the difference between that you have to serve the Eibishter and how to serve the Eibishter? Because you have to serve the Eibishter, the davening and taking the cake was the exact same thing. Sitting there and having a piece of cake with the Rebbe. Why? The tzaddik gave him the Messiah. That's it. There was nothing else. There didn't have to be anything else. Every single thing in their life shown by them is like davening. You daven, come on, they chomp with them, come on. By Achsidi Shayid, daven still almost mincha time. Karan is home, chaps a missile, makes kiddush so they can eat quickly, as you know, especially in times of Fabrang, who went home to eat. Half the time, people didn't even get a chance to go. You made kiddush over at the kichel and the wine that was there, and that was it. There was no other factor. Wait, Achsidi, that's not shayach such a thing. It's a whole different perspective. So the Baal Shem Tov showed that you have to how that he said that Medarf did the Eibishter. He showed how that the person has to serve the Hashem. You have to have the Amun and the Eibishter. Your whole life is the Eibishter. And therefore everything you do is the Eibishter. Choter Chach Deyun, that's right. Choter Chach Deyun. The Alter Rebbe showed Vimiken did the Eibishter. So Miken did the Eibishter. That's the difference between the Chayis and El. In the general chayis of el and the chayis el nanil v'daydi, which means what's the name daydi v'daydi li the aveda v'daydi tefillah. The Rebbe spoke many times about aveda tefillah. Now again, you know, you heard earlier. You're not. It's not. Even though I'm talking to myself also, but we're not talking where I'm holding. I'm talking where the reality is. The Rebbe spoke many times about davening pashut tefillah, and in the last years. The early years that Rebbe never didn't come down to Daven every day with a Minyan Shachas. Last year he started coming down Daven with a Minyan Shachas every single day. Shachas Mincha Maariv with a Minyan. And when people started then, how many times did Rebbe said, instead of looking at him, they should look in the Siddur? What does it mean? And Rebbe Monty after Daven question. What's Pshat Daven? What does it mean Daven? Daven doesn't mean you got to say the words. I know, we have Baruch Hashem, we have Minyan and our shul and so forth. Sometimes they come to the shul, a guy comes up to the daven for the Amid. Beautiful guys. Tremendous guys. And Baruch Hashem, they come to shul. Baruch Hashem, they daven. I'm not making anything. But it's impossible. It's impossible. I mean, I know how to read Hebrew pretty fast. I mean, I've been reading it for a lot of years. I read it fast. And they daven. I can't keep up with them. It's impossible. Forget about the Kiddush Hamilus. You just can't keep up the words. You know, before you finish, you're already next line. What does that mean? Because you're davening. This is like Sari the Menasi Yisri. You're davening about a daven. You're not davening because you want to be connected to the Eibishter. So that's a whole nekuda of what Chabad is. Chabad is not only about standing in the corner and putting on the reed. That's important. And it's critical. You have to save Jewish lives. But at the same time, Chabad is also about where we are holding ourselves in our own life and how we behave in our own life. And it's a very critical matter. Tal Terebe showed the Mekan Din and Mevish and Poshit to learn Chassidus a Libid and Nafshe. And it's critical to know that a Libid and Nafshe. recently we were talking with Yishluchim about how to teach, how to learn Tanya with college students. How do you learn Tanya with college students? So when you take a look and you open the Tanya, and Tanya is the foundation of the whole system, you have to learn it in such a way that it practicalizes something that has meaningfulness in your own life. What does it mean to me? You finish learning the Tanya for the day, the Chitas of the day. You finish learning the Chitas of the day. So the day, Tanya, you have learned Chitas, Chumash, Tanya, Tanya. So just like you say Tilim, you say Tanya, you say Chumash. You come to understand a little bit better. Tilim, you just say the words. Chumash, you understand a little bit better. Tanya, you also understand exactly, you're saying what you're saying, but there's no real essence in terms of connecting with the Eibishter on the highest level. That doesn't happen. So you have to ask yourself the question, how do you get it done? How do you make it happen? What do you do? How do you make it happen so that it's real? So that it's not just a story. It's not just something that's outside of the world. So let's go to another practicality. You heard before about Rabbi Rashab, that he Shabbos Bar Shkisave, Tafnish Mbez, he saw what's going on in Olam Haba. So what's going on in Gan Eden? And that word that Friedrich, that Rebbe Rashab saw, heard from the Baal Shem Tov, and the Friedrich Rebbe told over, became part of the Hayim Yim for Chayel and the Rebbe's Hayim Yim. So what does it say? Let's just go for it for a minute because it's practical. I'm not going to get into the whole Hasidic thought process behind it. Let's talk about practice. Now we're talking, if everything has to be practical. So I commented on it. So the Rebbe said, what's Eretz? Eretz is too sharp. Eretz is Rotsen, Melosh Merutz. The Eibishter's Rotsen. When you come to fulfill, you want to fulfill the Eibishter's Rotsen, and you want to be willed by the Eibishter, you want the Eibishter should love you and to build you and to that you fulfill his will. So two things, Rotsen and Merutzen. So what happens when you go into the Baish to Zavayla, that's a Sharish Shemekech and Beishim Lach. So you should know that this fact that you have this desire and this will is something that the Eibishter gives you. Why does a person have that feeling? It's a gift. We have, it's either a gift or a Yerusha. That's what the Rebbe says there. And then you should take from the first fruit of your land, the Samta Batana. What does it mean? Fruit is called Eidus. There should be Eidus, but can be Siyashus. In other words, Samta Batana. And it has to be in a manner that is practicalized in your own life. It's not just Eidus that you get inspired and that it's a good moment and you have a nice Fabdangin. But Eidus Bekalim, there has to be Bisyashos. It has to be in your practicality, which means that whatever we're talking about here now, to have that relationship with Davis, you have to make it practical in your own life. And what is that? And you go to the place of David Shir, you go to David Shir, which means every place that a Jew goes, he has to know that he is on a mission to David Shir. That's the word that is Nayin Yayin, and the word that Rabbi Rashab heard from the Baal Shem Tov, that the Rebbe explained. So the Rebbe explains, this Rebbe happens to be that I was there in Tavshin Mem Aleph. And Hashur, so the Rebbe explained that Rebbe, and it was a Thursday night, that Rebbe said that, what does it mean? Rotsen. So he says, what it says, Likud HaTorah. Rotsen is three things. Rotsen of the Eibishter manifests itself in three, the will of the Eibishter manifests itself in three things. What are the three things? Eilam, Shon, and Nefesh. Manifest Eilam is Netzisrael. Netzisrael is it's called Etz Chayfetz, the land of Hashem's will.
because it's in a land that is holy, and you're going to tie it today. The extraordinary aspect of Eretz Yisrael, that it impacted, Eretz Yisrael has impacted like the rest of the world at the highest levels, through Eretz Yisrael and so forth. The Rebbe didn't go into Arichas about that, even though that's from Bnei Gim. The Rebbe did speak by Arichas about the fact that we shouldn't give back a single inch of Eretz Yisrael. There's a whole discussion there, but that, it's a very interesting from Bnei Gim. You might want to look into it. It's in the Sichas Kedush. There you see it a little bit more in a expanded level. The Rebbe speaks about giving back the oil to Egypt, the stupidity of that and the foolishness of that. And then the Yom Kippur War, and why not go to the end and get the job done, and sort of you can stop in the middle and so forth. And then in 1981, again, the whole issue with the Camp David Accords, et cetera, et cetera. The Rebbe said it's the biggest mistake he can make. So he spoke about it about Ichas, but that's one level of Eretz. Then there's the Eretz of Teira, which is Kedush Baal Peh. This is why, because the Rosh Hashanah, it expressed itself Dafke through Kedush Baal Peh, which is the fact that you don't know exactly what the toughest is, a muscle, but the toughest you don't know about Tefillin except through Kedush Baal Peh. So actually, the Rosh Hashanah express itself in this Tesh Lopeh. That's Eilam. And in Shana is Rosh Hashanah. So it's Eilam and Shana and Nefesh. It's Tesh Lopeh and Rosh Hashanah is the Rosh of the Eivish there, because what happens on that day? On that day, Nisavaka is Baruch Ali, it's like Baruch Ali B'tachtim. Each person has the capacity to be able to affect his life in a practical way. The Rebbe said, at that time, we talked about Arichas. It doesn't mean that a person has the opportunity to affect his life in a practical way in Rosh Hashanah, because he knows that that's the time that the Eibishter created man. And the reason he created man is because the Eibishter wanted to fulfill his will. And in fact, man was created in such a way that he even has a primordial relationship with the world. He came before the world because so the neshama of Yid already was there before even B'ris Eilamas. And the whole purpose of B'ris Eilamas is B'sfil HaTeira, B'sfil Yisrael. So we are there to fulfill the Rasan of the Eivishter. So we are the Rasan of the Eivishter. And not only the Rasan of the Eivishter, but once the Eivishter put us into this world, and we fulfill his will in the practical way that he puts us into the garden, into the Gandhi, not into this world. And this world, the whole world is there to serve us in a practical way. That's why they put us there. And even this Nachash was there in order, Shamash Gadol, is to serve him in the proper way if he would have continued to fulfill the process, which didn't happen, but that was the objective. So not only do we fill the Rosh Hashanah, we fill the tithe of the Eivishter. The Savakar is Baruch is very difficult. And the Savakar is Baruch is to affect the entire world, that's the objective of a Jew in this world. Kol Ha'elam Kule. Ha'elam Kule, not Kule. Ha'elam Kule. That we have to affect Timlech B'chvaytav, that we want the Eivishter to be the king of the entire world. Which means an entire world, and the lowest level of the world, we need him to be the king. We need him to be the king. Not only in the high levels of the world, we need him to be the king in the lowest levels of the world. And there were levels of the world that you might say there's nothing left over there except darkness. There's many stories about the Alter Rebbe that he occupied himself with Peter Shvi. And he went to people to get money for Peter Shvi. Peter Shvi was a big thing by the Alter Rebbe, but it's a Tzedek, but Dan Nusin was very much involved with people that were at the edge of their spiritual lives, so to speak. And there he tried to reawaken them and so forth. Sometimes you see that in the loneliest places, in the place that there's nothing there, absolutely nothing, the only thing that exists under those circumstances is a relationship with David Stein. And I'll tell you just a practical story that happened to me. There was a guy, you know, we work in the prison system. So there was a fellow in prison a number of years ago. that this fellow, he was sentenced for a long time in prison. I had a relationship with him. I used to see him almost on a weekly basis in the early years, this we talked about in the Tufts Mems when he first started the Olive Institute. Went to the prison on a regular basis. We visited this guy for many years. And he became pushing the Hashem Taita Mitzvahs to the extent that he could. He started putting on tefillin. They learned to put on tefillin. He started keeping kosher. He started keeping Shabbos. He started living like a Yid to the extent that he could under those circumstances with the limited knowledge that he had. You know, he started learning a little bit as much as he could. Whatever Sefer I could bring him in, he would read it from beginning to end. Over a number of years, he went to the Ol Chumash, the Ol Tanakh, and went through a good portion of the Tanya, etc., and a lot of Sikhs of the Rebbe. Anyways, he became that kind of a person. So one day, this person, he didn't have anybody to visit him. He was alone, but a very intelligent man, highly intelligent person. He was a businessman that made some mistakes in life, and he ended up to serve a long time in prison. Anyways, he became very sick, this person. Came very sick to such a degree that they had to send him to the hospital, send him here to Jackson Memorial Hospital. So Jackson Memorial Hospital, they have a ward over there where they have locked up with people in the prison who come from prison to make sure they don't escape. So this person was extremely sick. He could almost never get out of bed. He had yenom achleh, and they already gave up on him. Couldn't. So he used to lay in this bed with a cuff on his foot connected to the bed so he couldn't get out of bed, he couldn't move around. That's the way it was. Anyways, I would visit him from time to time. One day, they say to me that he's being moved. Where's he being moved? His brother is a big doctor, and he has a hospital in the northeastern city. And the family says that since he is already at this stage of his life where he's not going to live too much longer, they wanted to bring him home, then he should die with them. And the government decided to let him send him there. Why spend money on him? You can send him to his brother. He'll take care of him. They'll bury him, whatever the case might be. He was already very, very sick. So I said goodbye to him, and he went to do his body. He said, go forget me, says to me. Anyway, a few weeks later, I decided, she said not to forget him. So I decided I want to go see him. So I decided to go see him. So I called up the hospital. I'd like to see him. 1 second. They put me on hold. Guy comes on the phone. You can't see him. Why can't you see him? He cannot be seen by anybody. His family says not seeing him. What do you mean his family? His brother is the head of the hospital. That's true. They said not to see him. So I said, I'm coming to see him anyways. So he said, 1 second, hold on a second. So the guy comes on the phone and he says to me, listen, I'm the head of the hospital here and you're not coming to see him. If you come, you're not going to be let in. So don't waste your time. Who are you? So I told him my name. I'm a friend of your brother, and I got to know him while he was in prison in Miami and so forth. Now I'd like to see him. He says, there's no way you're going to see him. I said, that's fine, no problem. I said, I'm going to come, but I'm not going to come myself. I'm going to bring the three networks, ABC, CBS, and NBC, because this is a great story. You have a brother who's almost dying. He wants to see his rabbi, and the brother who owns the hospital doesn't want him to see him. So, don't worry about it. He says, you're a rabbi? You're going to do that? So I said to him, you're a brother of a human being who wants to, that his rabbi wants to see him, and you're going to do that? He says, oh, okay, see him, but no publicity. I said, I'm not interested in publicity. I'm interested in your brother. He said, my brother's already almost at the end of his days. There's not much to see. I said, I want to come see him. He asked me not to forget him. I want to come see him. So I called the shliach from that place that lives near there, not too far. I said, listen, I'm going to this hospital. The guy owns the hospital. Maybe it's a good idea for you to come and meet him. You'll come with me. So he says, okay. So we go together. We drive to London, LaGuardia Airport. We drove a few hours. We came to the hospital. Outside, I announced myself. So he said, 1 second, please. all of a sudden a big burly nurse comes out, like a bodybuilder nurse kind of person. So they come with me and they take me downstairs through the back hallways, almost through the laundry room over there, and through a back elevator. And we go up to him. I don't know which floor, I don't remember. It takes me floor, and you go out and go into the room. And they said, okay, you go inside there, you'll have a few minutes, and then you'll leave. I take a look, there's nobody there. I see a wire coming down, like an IV wire coming down to this body. And there's a guy, but I couldn't hardly see the body. He was so thin already that he was laying in bed covered up. You could almost not see a person. So they said to me, he's already in a coma. There's nobody to talk to. I said, okay. I walked over to him, put my hand on him. I said to him, Yaakov, Jack, he opens his eyes. Rabbi, what are you doing here? So the nurse starts screaming out, hey, he's up, he's a miracle, And he's just cold blue, whatever, the beard did not just in, it's a miracle, he woke up. So I said, listen, ma'am, you told me I have a few minutes here. If you see, I just woke him up. If you don't leave me alone with him for a few minutes, I'm going to put him back to sleep. So he let me stay with the person for a few minutes. Sat down, he looked at me, and he said, to them, I've been dead for many years already. But to you, I'm still alive. That's exactly what he said. I said, would you like to wrap the tefillin? He says, yes. Anyways, it was the last time, the last day of his life, I put up tefillin with him. The next day he passed away. In the darkness of that space, the only thing that kept him alive was the fact that he had a Yiddish in the Shabbat. Only that fact that he was a ben yachid to the Eibishter, a beloved child of the Eibishter, that nobody cared about. His own brother didn't care about him. His own family didn't care about him. He was a dead man to them. To them, he was laying there, he's over. He only was alive to me. He wasn't alive to me for any physical reason. I never got anything from him. I didn't expect anything from him, nor from his brother, nor from his family. The only reason he was alive to me is because to the Rebbe he was alive. To the Rebbe he was important. The Rebbe taught me a number of years before that not to forget the single Jew that might call out to you. So our objective is to fulfill the Ratzon and the timing of the Eibishter. On a practical way is to bring godliness into this physical world on a practical level, to really mean it in a certain way. It's not always easy because we're so involved with our own things and we are our own growth and we have to be a Siddishid and we have to learn Torah and we have to do mitzvahs and we have to raise our children, we have to raise our families, we have to raise money, we have to make a maisid, and it's all very interesting. But you just heard Rabbi Shapiro say so clearly. He said, that changed. To do work, the inyanim of Hafatzah Bayanis and all that, generally speaking, he didn't need the person to go out and put on tefillin. He needed to be a shliach to do that. Every single yid has to do that. But since we have to get it done, so we get it done. But the key is to internalize the process, to make it happen internally, to make it work. As I told you many times, to a lot of people here, I learned time many of you know him. He spoke publicly a few times for Chabad. He spoke Gimel Thomas in New York. He's one of the doctors, one of the neurologists by the Rebbe. He brought Dr. Moore to the Rebbe. His name was Barry Baumel. He's the head of one of the new departments of neurology at the University of Miami of Alzheimer's and dementia. He's the chairman of that department. A big researcher, is well known. His research, his field, high level person. So he's been learning Tanya since Tavshin Mundalad, we started learning Tanya, before Gimel Thomas even. Because he came to see the Rebbe, and he once said to people, he said he doesn't understand. He looked around at the island, it's Rivka there, and Gimel Thomas, I think it was Hayden Vav, one of those years immediately after Gimel Thomas. So he said, he didn't understand. He says, the Rebbe impacted my life when he couldn't speak anymore. I can imagine how he impacted your lives. So he said publicly, in front of a big eidah, including doctors, he said, Tanya changed his perspective of neurology. That's what he said. Which means that Chai Elul has to change our perspective of how we approach our lives in a practical way. That's the key. That's the whole process. And to bring it into the practical way, into the lowest levels that exist, not into the highest levels that exist, into the lowest levels that exist, into the simple world where you're dealing with practical things on a practical day, the daily basis. So that's what the Rebbe said, that the Alter Rebbe taught us how you can serve the Eibishter. That this Ratzon of the Eibishter, to fulfill our objective, what our objective is, to fulfill the Eibishter's Ratzon, he needs us. Imagine that he needs us. And imagine, if you think about Chayas and this whole process of Anila Deidi V'Eidi in Avedis of Hashem, that affects every part of Elul because it has to answer something. It doesn't create an exclusivity, only in Anila Deidi V'Eidi, but not the other factors. The Anila Deidi V'Eidi makes everything completely different. Because when you connect it to the Eibishter in such a way that it's Yisparasim Renei, Aliba D'Nafshe, that you understand, that you think, that you understand, that you analyze, and you try to understand what's going on in my life, and how do I relate to the Eibishter, and what does it mean? And when you learn about Tanya, you know, you want to know, what does it mean? That must be in Eishet Eitzad of Altei Rosh. What does it mean, it must be in Eishet? It's a word. So it's a difference of opinion. If it's Tanya, if it's a Braise, if it's a Psimloi, and all the, you get into that, that's all significant and very important. But the critical factor is that we are connected to our neshama from before it came into this world. This is an eternal connection from all the way back to all the way forward. And we impact the world, not only ourselves, but we impact every single Jew. Like it says, na yeim yeim, that we impact every single Jew, yituateve toayid, yituateve, with the nefesh lekis hakdum da'ak. To the Shema as it stands in the original primordial Eibishter himself until Sef Kol HaDeiros, including Mashiach. So that's the practicality. That means that we take the Avodas of an Eilu Deidi V'Eidi, and you bring it into a practicality and make it alive and put it into the practicality of your work on a daily basis. And you know that to know if you have a Chayas. What does it mean if you have a Chayas? So, you know, I know this is going to sound very plain, very regular, and very mundane, and it's not, you might say, super chassidish and so forth, but you think to yourself on a practical level, so what does it mean? You wake up in the morning, do you ever see a child get up in the morning? I see little children get up in the morning. They get up in the morning, they dance out of the bed. They get up and jump out of the bed. Don't find a kid that's going to roll on one side and then roll the other side, and then he's going to figure it out. Should he get up? He gets out of bed, he's jumping, he's already rushing, he's next. He's running to his toys, he's running to do something. Because he has a life in him. And his little, limited, naive mind, that's his life. It means that that simple naivete that occupies your whole existence, that should take your whole existence when you move into a more mature level of existence. That same level, that's what the Alter Rebbe says. Shem Yibel Tzadibikam means you're able to rely on that original naivete that you were when there was a kid. So you know to yourself, you wake up in the morning, you jump out of bed, you think to yourself, another 5 minutes. You hit the alarm clock again, you know, the snooze. You know, maybe another 7 minutes. You know, I'll make it in time, don't worry about it. Hit it and you come rushing through and everything. Or do you get up and say, I'm here today to serve the Eibishter. I gotta fulfill my mission. I was talking to a little child. Tomorrow she has a birthday party, this little child. So she can't sleep tonight already. Why? Because she's thinking about the birthday party tomorrow. This little child thinking about her birthday party. But that, to the little child, to a five-year-old, that's what they think about. It's the birthday party tomorrow, to a six-year-old, to a seven-year-old. Think about the birthday party tomorrow. When we go to sleep at night, do we not sleep because we're thinking about what we have to fulfill tomorrow? I was like, oh my God, again, it's bad. You know, father, get off the Zooms, get off the classes, get off the bothersome. That's it. What do you think? Boy, I got to get up. That's what I'm saying. It's not an easy process, what I'm suggesting here. It's not an easy process. But if you want to take it to the next level, you want to really fulfill what the Rebbe said, that I'm leaving it to you. I did what I could, now I'm leaving it to you. What does that mean? I did what I could, I'm leaving it to you. Guys like us, he's leaving it to us. What does that mean? It means to say that he put into us the power to be able to get it done. Because what we get done, the work that we get done, we know ourselves, I know myself. And I'm sure that you, if you don't fool yourself, you know yourself. In any case, anything that you get done that's really, you think, how did it happen? It's not that I have such brains, not that I have such capacity. The Rebbe to give you the bracha, and the Rebbe gave you the bracha, the Rebbe sent you, and you go with the Kelecham Shaleach, that's it. So when you go to sleep at night and you think to yourself, what am I going to do to put a chayas in my elbow? Not theoretically, not just to get into the learning side of it, and to get into that philosophical side of it, and what's the pshat nechayas, and what's pshat nekan, and what's pshat nedav. All that is fantastic, but how do you make it practical in life itself? You put it into your own existence, because if you have it in your own existence, you can convey it that way. Because real is real. When a person knows you're real, they accept it that way. So it changes the whole form, it changes the whole environment, it changes everything around you. It's got to be for real. Chayas Elul has got to go get away from its philosophy, from its theory, from its history. It's got to get into what it is today with us. What does it mean to be, to put life force into Aniva Dedi? They never said so. And he couldn't, and he repeated it time and time again. And he asked us to do it. And we know that we have a responsibility. And I tell people all the time, we have a responsibility. Our responsibility is not only because they put us into this world and we have a tachas kavanas to make a dilalis, but a betachtanim. Of course, everybody has their responsibility. We have another responsibility. The Yid, the reason they hate the Yid, you know why they hate the Yid, so the Rabbi writes in Geras Teiman that the real fundamental halacha is of saying to the Yankiv, what's the union of the wives of the Eivishter? Because we represent the Eivishter. When they see a Yid, they know that we are the Amanifcha. We didn't say so, we didn't choose ourselves. The same Bible that they believe also in the Bible. The Goyim also believe in the Bible. That Bible says that we are the Aman Yisrael. And so we represent the Eibishter, but that's abstract. It's an abstraction, you represent the Eibishter. A lot of guys say, you know, choose somebody else or whatever. And many people, many Jews, unfortunately today, they live like Goyim, they look like Goyim, Chas V'Shalom. Of course, they have a Nefesh L'Kis. L'idach M'men and Nidach. Patim T'luk T'echadach M'nei Yisrael. We're not going to lose a single person. Not a single Jew will be left behind, as you know. But you can get lost. You're going to think you represent the Eibishter. I represent myself. I believe different than you do. But the Shliach of the Rebbe, the Lubavitcher Chassid represents the Rebbe. When they see you, they say, this is the Rebbe's representative. You call yourself that. That's the name Shliach. Shliach Shalom Kameise. However you interpret that Shlipas. The Rebbe interpreted that the whole person is like that. The whole shlich is like that. So under those circumstances, the chayas and elul has to be a completely different level. It has to make a difference in our own lives. It has to make a difference in how we speak. The chayas should be that our life force has to be our Rebbe's life force, the Rebbe's life force. Practical things. Achsiv shayid should make sure that he speaks like a chsidish person. That he behaves like a chassidish person. That his jokes are chassidish jokes. That his stories are chassidish stories. And even though, you know, a person can live in holy stuff, and therefore he doesn't have to watch how his pants are dressed, but we're not on that level. We have to walk and make sure that Abbe was impeccable. He wasn't, that Abbe could care less. He wore the same pair of shoes for 50 years. That Abbe did, it wasn't about having a nice suit and not a nice suit. That Abbe should go into his room. It happened to me at one time that Abbe, the door was a little open. I was standing there, and Rebbe walked into his room. He took off his hat, and he just flipped it across the room. And he didn't take his hat, like, nice, and put it down. You know, satechne. He would care less about it, but like a king. And we represent the king on every level. How we speak, how we walk, how we behave. Chayas and Elul is not theory. It's not about aesthetics. It's not about getting into another space. Chayis and Elul means how we live our life on a practical level, on a practical day, every single day. And then you bring the Chayis and Elul, Chayis and Adil, Dei, start with davening. Everything has to have a practicality. So check something out. Next few days, next to 12 days, daven pashut every davening. Make sure you daven with pesach. Make sure you know exactly what you're saying. Daven a few minutes slower. Don't worry about it yet. See, the point will take for a little bit longer. It doesn't matter. Daven pesach milus shachas min chamarim. Just know what you're saying. Baruch ato Hashem. Know what you're talking to. God Himself, right, direct, one, two. Ato, not blessed are thou. You know, in the Chabad Sidurim, there's no thou. Thou, you ask a kid, what's thou? They don't know what thou is. Thou is, you know, some story. You, blessed are you. This is no thou. And you think about it on a practical level. And you say to that every single day when you wake up in the morning. Thank you, Hashem. You just gave me back my life. Some of us that had experiences where we were pretty much in a precarious state, we understand what it means. Hashem gave me back my life. But He gave each one of us back His life on a practical level. And when you make a problem, just the next 12, it's just 12 days. If you're asking someone else to do it, you've got to be able to do it yourself. So think about it. Are you bringing a chayis into Elul, or is it just a story of prayer for Benayim? Saturday night or Sunday night or whatever the case is, and then we go into the practicality of life and we do our thing the way it was before? Or does the whole day change, the whole period change? And that change in that period is not only a change for that period, but a change in our own internal self that sustains that change continuously. And it'll make a difference in your relationship with others, make a difference in your relationship with yourself, make a difference in your relationship with the other, make a difference because you'll be conscious of it. So you say to yourself, you know, theory is theory, but practicality is practicality. You got to bring it down in Temta, that part of the Placha. You got to make sure that it works in a practical way in today's day and age. How does it make a difference today in your life? Am I going to daven differently? Try that. Bring a chayis and a needle of the day, what the Alter Rebbe did. You learn Tanya, after you finish learning the daily Tanya. I was telling the group of guys before, I did an experiment in 1981. I was at a period of time that I was doing some my own experiments, a study that Rebbe gave me permission to do. Anyway, so I was involved with something. So one of the things, I went to 770. I used to go every Shabbos to 770. So I went to the Rebbe Fabereng, and so I went a few times. I went Sunday morning in the shul, and I would ask guys, did you learn Shitas today? Yeah, so let's say, just to give you a marshal, out of 10 guys that said they learned Shitas, some guys said, oh, I learned it later, I didn't learn it yet. The 10 guys that said I learned Shitas, so I asked them, did you learn Tanya today? Yeah. So I started discussing with Tanya. Usually, no more than two guys really were able to share with me what they learned in Tanya. Like, Tanya, Aliba de Navshe, Yisbana Semene, Chabad. And I didn't really learn it, you know, but I said, that's not what it is. Chayas in Elul means to bring your life into Elul in a different way, that it makes a difference in your practicality of life. In my practicality of life, as I said to you earlier, I'm not talking to you and saying, hey, you guys have to be such and such. I'm talking to myself. I'm just sharing a conversation, you know, I'm speaking out loud. You know, you talk to yourself and you think you're nuts. But this is somebody else who's there, so at least you don't think you're crazy. You think you're listening somehow. In any case, David should help us. We should bring a chayis in Elul, a chayis in Anil, chayis in closing in Elul. It's a shame that Elul should bring us the right thing. We need it. We need it already. We want Mashiach now in the best way, in the worst way. You know, even people that never talked about Mashiach and so forth are already talking. We need Mashiach. We need Mashiach already. So, you know, we were lucky. We got a head start on the whole process. We know that he's Mamish on the doorstep, already knocking at the door. Meitz Menacharak, he's looking through the cracks. He's waiting us. We even shined the kneplach and so forth. So, l'chaim. And we should Meitz Hashem be Mashiach and everything that we've done.
Shkoyach for the introduction. Now I'm going to say l'chaim and I'm going to start for Brian. L'chaim, l'chaim. L'chaim, Rabbi Lipsky.
You have a lot of steam on this chat. Maybe someone else can answer.
You're the Fabringer.
I'm Benzi Shemtov.
I'm L'chaim. It's important that everybody say L'chaim, that you don't just sit at home and just do it. We participating in an active role in the Fabringer. And the Zok L'chaim says I'm an
Psalm. Yeah, again, doesn't somebody have something good amount of tape that we can sing along with? That some lips. Guys know how to deal with these electronics. Can let's put find some nigun in there.
There's a nigun yashin from the Alter Rebbe. 1 second.
Oh.
Oh, Chaim, Chaim, Abelipsker, you know, I want to ask you, you're in your community, be able to bring the Chassidishkeit and the idea of Chai Helul, you know, into the very, very practical, livable way of making an impact on people, making Chassidim, even people that are, it's interesting, because even people that are like not, you know, full-fledged, let's say, people necessarily, but they, you know, they know Rebbe, they know Chassidus. If you could share with us, you know, Chassidim, Shluchim, you know, as Chayel will come of the world, and we want to share with others, you know, the Pashut, the you know, in simple words, practical words, you know, what is Chassidus? What is Rebbe? You know, why we need a Rebbe, why we need Chassidus in their life, why should they learn Chassidus? You know, how to make it real for them as well. Chaim Lechaim.
Chaim Lebracha. So, you know, you ask a question, I'm sure everybody here has that answer, has some answer to that. So, the fundamental thing, there's one fundamental point. The fundamental point is that the Rebbe is a center point of this process, obviously, in a practical way. But everybody knows that it's the Rebbe's keiches, the Rebbe's power, the Rebbe's ability. Ad ki dekach, just to give you perspective, I've told this already a few times to this in the Shluch convention, but we're just going to tell you again the impact of the Rebbe. So, you know, as you know, we're building a big addition to our Mesid. Baruch Hashem is moving along. It's very much more expensive than we thought. It's a lot of money. In any case, we needed to have a foundation guy, a person that gives a serious amount. You have to raise $30 million or so plus. So you need somebody that's going to put in nice money. You can't just collect $1,000, $10,000, even $100,000. But you really need a lot of people for that. You need one center point. So I went to one of my rabbis, and I mentioned it to them because one of the persons that initially I thought was going to do it, whatever, you know, to do to economics, other factors, was not able to. So I didn't move forward, and he didn't move forward, and so forth. I was left like this without anybody. So I sat down with one of my people, a very close relation with him, and I said to him, I want you to know that, you know, this building, it's very important, and it's the community, and it's important for the Jewish people, etc., etc. And I, you know, my whole song and dance and the whole spiel. And I've been, and he knows, he comes, he participates, and he believes in what we're doing, and he's been a serious donor over many years. So it's not like I have to, it's not a new guy that I have to sell him into the process. He's basically sold into the process. So I said to him, you know, this major structure on Collins Avenue, it's a very important thoroughfare. They say 100,000 cars drive by it during the season, 100,000 people or whatever. They'll see you put a sign on it, your name is going to be on top of it, or this is a center dedicated by you, yours, your family's name. He says, Rabbi, he said, you know, I love you very much, and I like what you're doing. It's not for me. We're not into that. That doesn't resonate with me. Nothing like that. Anyways, he said, no. Anyways, that night I was sitting at home, and I was talking to my son. I was thinking about it, and I said to myself, what kind of fool am I? This is the Rebbe's message. It'd be such a beautiful space, beautiful building, so if you're going to see it. I'm not naming it after anybody. I'm going to name it after the Rebbe. Put the Rebbe's name on it. See, that's what I said anyways. And that's it. No question about it. So the Rebbe's name is going to be on top of the building. This is the name named after the Rebbe. The Rebbe's name, but that's the name of this center. So the next day, I give him a call and I said, you know, I need to see you for a few minutes, just a few minutes. He said, sure, anytime. You know, what, do you want me to come over? I said, if you don't mind, okay, you can come over. It would be very helpful. Anyways, he said, I'll be over after in my office. I'll stop by. Came to my office. I said, you know, I want to just mention something to you. I just want to mention it to you because, you know, you told me you don't mention such a thing, but I just want to say maybe this is, you are interested. It could be, it's possible. I said I would name the name after the Rebbe, the whole building. And then in the small words, it's going to be dedicated by this and this family. He says to me, my name is going to be next to the Rebbe's name. The name's going to be on the name of the Rebbe. The building's going to be on the Rebbe's name. How much? I made a deal with him right there. Can you imagine such a thing? Not his COVID, nothing. I don't need my name should be next to the Rebbe's name. Every time the guy makes a move, make sure you write a letter to the Rebbe. That the Rebbe should know. So number one is the Rebbe. That's the number one thing. The number two thing is very important. I said earlier about Chayol, it's not a joke. So, again, this is already public information, but I can just repeat it because you asked the question. So it was a chiddush with the Rebbe in Tepsel HaBedalad with the young leadership cabinet of the UJA. It was 13 members of the young leadership cabinet of the tri-state area of New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut. Bedalia, young leadership of the United Jewish Appeal, came to the chiddush. So it happens to be that the Rebbe invited me to come to that Yechidus, along with the two other shluchim in there. Shlomo Kino was there and Avraham Shantov was there, together with the Maskinim. And before the Yechidus, they met to the Rebbe's library next door. And after Yechidus, we met again. And the Yechidus lasted for an hour and a half. They all had chairs. There were chairs set up in the Rebbe's room, like folding chairs. They all sat down in chairs and we stood in the back. And for an hour and a half, they never spoke in English. It's now, I think, I had a tape of that because one of the people there made a tape. Someone stole it from me, actually, Shigneva, which I told many people. I don't know who stole it, but I saw it already in print. I saw some of the stuff that was printed. So I know that it's somewhere to be found. In any case, so this... he asked the Rebbe all kinds of questions. He asked the Rebbe questions about Russian Jewry at that time. This is 1975. The Russian Jewry, he asked the Rebbe questions about 1984, excuse me. He asked the Rebbe questions about education and about assimilation and about and they asked the Rebbe about fundraising. What's the Rebbe's funding? The Rebbe said to them, if you gave me $100,000, the Rebbe said at that time, I could save 100,000 Jewish children through summer camps. And anyway, that's the issue. So the Rebbe asked them about fundraising. So the Rebbe said, fundraising, there's a derech a short, long way, the long and short way. What's the short and the long way? You ask a person for a donation. And you tell them how much you need it and that you need to impact people and you have a story and you have a great story. You have to save a Jew. You have to save a family. You have to save a mace. You have to save a community. You have to turn on the lights. Yeah, whatever the case is. You really impact the person and you're a very, very capable salesman in areas of Jewishness. And you impact the person. And the guy takes out a check, writes you a check. You got the check right away. The reason it's short and long way, because next year you have to do it again. You have to tell another story. Let's say next year there's a better story. Federation has a better story. Or the MDA, Walking Dove at Dome has a better story. Or the Friends of IDF has a better story. You're out of the picture. I'm sorry, there's very much needs. Why? Because your story was good now, and next story did. So it's always every year you got to come with another poem story, with another need, et cetera, et cetera. That's the short and long way. The long and short way is to make your project his project. Then you don't have to ask him for money anymore. Because your project is his project. That's Nakuda. The Nakuda is that he has to buy into the system. He has to have skin in the game. You have to want to do it. It happens to be that my board director I'm pushed up. I'm fortunate. I have guys who's the who's who in America, lawyers, the biggest lawyers, the best lawyers in America, Harvard educated lawyers. My president, going to be my president now, extraordinary guy, and he has big clients, etc. Now, the man is so serious about it. He has meetings with me. What can we do this year to impact the society? What can we do to impact not only society, but since the Rebbe said that we have to be a pilot project, how we impact the society that I'll be able to follow it. It's about conveying that message. Now, so you have two things. Number one, the Rebbe is the center point, as I said before. Number two, the long and short way. You got to really make your project. He's got to buy into your system. He's got to buy into your program. Even if he's not 100% the Chassidus Yid, and he's not yet a Shema Tein and this is 100%. He's got to buy into your program. He's got to make your priority. It's got to be his priority. And that's a very important process. And it takes time. And it takes effort. It takes thought. And it takes learning. And the third thing, which could be sometimes the most important, I'm not saying, of course, not minimizing the importance of the Rebbe and so forth, but in terms of the most important thing, the impact side of it, it's that you got to live what you're saying. You got to live it. He's got to know that what you're saying, you are the story. It's for real. This guy's for real. He really means it. He lives that way. He feels that way. It doesn't mean that you have to be a pauper in order to be able to get money for your money. On the contrary, you're Ben Melech. You represent the Rebbe. But in your lifestyle, you have to live what you are conveying to him that you want him to do. You have to live that way. And they respect it. All of a sudden, it's real. And they have respect for it. Because in the rest of the world, there's nothing that's real out there. It's all a bunch of Bubba Mises. It's a bunch of PR. It's fake news or whatever the case is. It's the alter ego. You create us a vision of yourself or whatever you want to create through any kind of perspective. It's who you are in terms of how they perceive you in the reality of life. That's in the code. That's the key aspect. And the next thing is that's critical. There's nothing to replace that. If it's not for real, forget about it. If you go with the fact of the matter is that you know what's going on in football sometimes is necessary because you need an opening to have the conversation with him. I know we have Brachim Shlosim by us. So one of the things I tell the Brachim Shlosim all the time Don't ask a guy what he does for a living. He used to be the guys used to come. He used to come back to me and said, you know what this guy does? You know what he has? You know, I didn't know myself. I knew the guy for 10 years. I didn't know whether he had a boat. And it wasn't part of my repertoire with him. And he knew that it wasn't part of my repertoire with him, but it didn't matter to him. All of a sudden, you know, you enter into that kind of a space. That space, you're just another guy down the street that he wants to be a big shot to. It doesn't matter. What he wants from you is ruchnius. He wants from you to know that you are his conduit to the Eibush, that you're his conduit to the Rebbe, you're his conduit to Yiddishkeit, you're his conduit to his process of success from a spiritual point of view that affects his physical point of view. That's what he needs to know. So that's critical. There's no question that all of those things are fundamental, and you have to make sure that they happen in terms of how you behave, how you act. And I said again, I've had many instances, and you know, unfortunately, people that I know very well and I respect a lot, and they tell stories, they tell jokes that are pushing. Not nice. Not nice jokes. And they use language that's not nice language. And they think they, you know, it's like you're part of the company, you know, these guys, they like it, and they laugh. They were this guy told the best jokes. No, that's not what you're there for. For that, they can open up the television, listen to the best joke tellers in America. They don't need a shliach to be able to tell them a joke. They don't need a shliach to be able to tell them words of society. That's not what we have to do. On the contrary, you're destroying your image in terms of your representation of the Rebbe. You are a representative. Every moment you are, that's your representation. And it has to come across a real and a practical way and an obvious way. And then there's another factor. And that is, as I said the other day, what's in it for me? Everybody must know what's in it for me. How do I benefit from this process? What's in it for my life? My relationships, for my success, for my being, what's in it for me? Chassidus talks about how it affects me. That's the key. That's the process. And when, first of all, I have a custom. Every single time I sit down with a balabas, every time I have a meeting, every time. When I say every time, I'm talking about every single time. I always begin my conversation with a word of Torah, a word from the Rebbe, some word. It changes the whole environment. The whole environment it begins at a different level. Even if I have to ask him for something, I start. This is what I say. I said, the Rebbe says, I'll tell you an interesting story one time. I had that meeting with the Satmar Rebbe. Well, the Satmar Rebbe was, this is also a very interesting picture. I went to Satmar Rebbe's house. He asked me to come. I went myself, and I went with a lawyer from Olive. My brother was with me, my older brother, and we went to Satmar Rebbe's house in Williamsburg. It was a beautiful, beautiful house in a mansion. And we met, and as I walked into the house, there was a big, like a board table, a big, giant table with plush chairs around it, and around it was about 11 Rebelach, the Chachike Rebbe, the Pechkeve Rebbe, you know, all kinds of Rebelach from Bar Park, from Williamsburg, from all over. You know, they have like a bunch of Rebbes. The main Rebbe, of course, is the Satmar Rebbe, but they're all like pseudo Rebelach. They have their own Shtibelach, their own Rebelach, they're all around there, including two of his sons were there. Anyways, everybody sat around. They told me to sit up front. I sat right next to him. There was a front seat, like a throne chair, so to speak. And then I sat on his left side. On the side, I sat there. That's when I sat. My lawyer, the lawyer from the house, sat next to me. My brother sat next to him. And all the others were sitting around. Anyways, all of a sudden, he came in. Everybody got up. He walked in. Sat down, says, me. Looks at me, he says, hype tune, start. So he already knew who I was, obviously. because it was a matter that was pertinent to him, this matter. So I said, I started saying the words. Before I started, I wasn't so sophisticated politically to get the whole picture. So I said, the Rebbe said, I spoke in Yiddish, the Rebbe Gizog, I get a whack under the table. He gives me a kick under the table. I thought I was, I'm not talking about like a little reminder. I'm talking about a kick that had a black and blue mark for a few weeks. The Rebbe was a very intelligent person. He sensed it. He sensed it because I cringed. With a whack. You know, so you get a hammer on your nail, kind of thing. So he cringed. So he sensed something. And he said like this, because the guy next to me says, you're talking about you bringing to a bunch of heaven, and then you're talking about his feeling from the Satan Rebbe. So the Satan Rebbe said these words, the Lubavitch Rebbe is an undersort Rebbe. Zugvater. Tell us what you have to say. So that's a practicality in a very simple sense. So you ask me what is necessary in order to be able to impact people around you. It's a process. But the process begins with me, with you and me. It begins with how we behave. When we represent the Rebbe, there's nothing that stops us. Shaleach. I told this group the other day a story that I heard. You know, I see them talk about the Rebbe's maskinim, etc., etc. You know, it's kind of pretty, etc. You know, sometimes maski sometimes can make a mistake and think that he's like the boss. So you got to make sure you know who you are. So it happens to be. So he tells the story that the king, he needed to send a message to the front lines of the army. They were having a very important battle. So the king had to send a messenger, but had to get there right away. And it was a long drive. It was a 3-day ride. But the faster they would get there, the better the strategy would be in order to conquer the enemy. So the king asked to bring the best horse rider they can find. Who's the best horse rider? The best horse rider is not the minister. He's not the assistant to the king. He's not the secretary to the king. Best horse rider is the guy that deals with horses the whole day, a horse rider. So they go into the horses area, the place where they race horses, and they find the best horse rider. A whole day he's racing horses, and he's dealing with horses. He has nothing to do with the king. He has nothing to do with intelligence. He has to do with intellect. He has to do with horses. So they hired this guy to, they said, the king needs you. Comes to him. King says, I need to deliver this letter. In order to get there quickly, he said, I'm giving you a special kind of insignia that's going to be on your horse. It's going to be representing the king. And whenever you come into a place, they're going to refresh your horse. They're going to give you a place to sleep. But I need you to get there as quickly as possible. How fast can you get there? He said, I can get there as quickly as, instead of 3 days, I can get there in 2 days. 2 days. Beautiful. And he sends him on his way. He stops the first place he stops. The first city stops, he's ready, you know, he rode for 15 hours, and he's driving his horse crazy, but his horse, you know, he gives out to it, it's enough. Even though he's a great horse rider, he stops, comes to a town, shows that his insignia, oh, the king's messenger's here. They bring him into the best hotel there is, they take his horse, and they feed the horse, and they wash the horse, and they rest the horse, and everything is... He never had such a thing. They give him the best food. What would you like to eat? You want steak? The guy was a farmer. He didn't know nothing. He never was served this way. He's the kasher and borscht. And all of a sudden, he's given it like he's treated like a king because he represented the king. Anyways, next day he goes, the next town, the same thing happens, so forth. Suddenly he gets to the army base. He walks in. They see the horse of the king and the insignia of the king on the saddle. Everybody stands up. Wow. The king's representative is here. He asks, where's the generals? I have a special messenger for them. He said, there's in the tent at the end of the camp over there. He goes to the tent over there, and there's guards standing there. Who are you? Oh, yes. What do you have a special message I have to deliver to the general? You open the door and they bring him in. All the generals jump up. Message from the king. They jump up. They stand up. Attention. They salute. They take the message. And he goes out. He says, okay, that's it. He goes outside. All the soldiers, they surround him. Who are you? They gave you such honor, such dignity. Who are you? What kind of person are you? So he started telling him how he's a horse rider, and the king took him, and he tells some stories. You know, he's telling stories, and they're for an hour. They're all listening to every story he has to say. Suddenly, the doors open up to the tent, and the generals come out. The generals come out. All the soldiers jump up, stand at attention with a salute. This guy is sitting on the floor, you know, smiling, having a drink. You know, they gave him a l'chaim. He's partying. He's a big boy. All of a sudden, the military police come and they pick him up and they schlep him over to the jail. So, what are you taking me? So, what do you mean? The generals came out of the tent and you didn't stand up to salute them. You're sitting there like nothing. So, what are you talking about? An hour and a half ago, I walked in there. They were standing up for me. Don't you know that? Everybody was standing up for me. He says, an hour and a half ago, you represented the king. Now you're just a farmer, horse driver. That's it. That's the key. You got to be the representative of the king. We are the representative of the king. That means from the morning we say, Maidanilu Falecha, we represent the king. You have to feel it. It's not only a word. You have to feel it to represent the king. Now, sometimes it can cause you a little problem. Representing the king doesn't mean that you know that you chas v'shalom, you think, oh, I'm the king. You know yourself who you are. But, you know, the king has a stick. The stick becomes a scepter that represents the king. So we're a stick. But the day it ever took the stick, me and you. I'm talking about me. It took me. Took a push a guy. Yeah, regular guy. No special talents, no special outstanding. A guy, a Jew, a Yid that was born out of a Chassidish father and a mother, and born of a Chassidish grandparents, went back, took the stick, and he said, this stick, you are representing me, I'm going with you. But that's the only way you're going to be successful. So you ask the question, how do you impact the community? You impact the community, first of all, impacting yourself. You have to convey yourself to the community, not you have to convey yourself like an alter ego, because that doesn't work. Because every single day, every minute, you got to work on it. And sometimes you fail. You have to transform yourself into knowing that you represent the Rebbe. That you represent the Rebbe. Doesn't mean you're a Rebbe, Chas v'Shalom. That's not the point. But you do represent him, because otherwise don't call yourself shliach. Call yourself an employee. Call yourself, I'm part of the system. I'm part of the organization. Shliach means shluchi shalom k'mesis.
When another person knows the king, another person doesn't know the king, doesn't recognize the king, doesn't know anything about the Rebbe, and you're trying to go to a donor who...
I'm going to stop you right now, because that's an obvious question. The answer is very simple. He knows the king through you. How you behave, that's how he knows the king. Because he knows, and you tell him that the reason I am who I am is because of the king. He doesn't know the king because he knows the king. He doesn't know it. To many people in our community, in your community yourself, you're like the Rebbe to them. You know, they never had a Rebbe. They never went to the Rebbe. They never got a dollar from the Rebbe. I was by this person, not a chassid. I told you, a big misnagid. The biggest gift that I could give him was a dollar from the Rebbe. And the dollar from the Rebbe, it wasn't a dollar from the Rebbe. Because he doesn't know the Rebbe. It was the fact that I gave him the dollar that the Rebbe gave me. I said, I got this dollar directly from the Rebbe. Because somebody told him, he says, hey, here's a dollar from the Rebbe. He took a look at the dollar. And on the dollar, it says 2005. He said, 2005, how does the Dalton that ever have 2005 on it? He knew it was a Baba Meisa. So I sent him a Dalton that ever, and the Dalton says 1985. Yeah, it was the Dalton that I got from the Rebbe. So I sent him a Dalton and my Dalton that ever. You can't imagine how it impacted his life. So you say to him, they don't know the Rebbe. They know the Rebbe through you. That's what I'm saying the whole time. When you represent the Rebbe, you show them what the Rebbe is, and the Rebbe could make you who you are. A simple guy that doesn't even know, that never went to an English school, and is talking to the governor of the state of Florida and getting along with him and traveling with him. And he says, hey, how do you get there, man? What'd you do? What do you do? Well, he's such a smart guy. Did you ever learn politics? You don't even speak English without an accent. You still have an accent. What are you doing? It's not me, my man. I represent the king. That's the thing. It's you. It's not, you cannot take them into the Rebbe because it's after Gimel Thomas. But once you do that, you can take them to the Eil because they know that there's a power there. But it's you who represents that position. It's you that makes that difference. Because they know when they see you, they don't see a guy who's a politician, who's a bad smash man. A guy who cares about another Jew, who cares about another human being, who learns chassidus, who talks to him about Hashem, who talks about God. He doesn't talk to him about, you know, I want you to make sure that I get it. You pass a bill that I can make some money over here by your organization. So that's not your issue. You talk about bills, about a moment of silence, about impacting Jews. He knows that it's for real. This is a different representation. You can't sell the Rebbe through the Rebbe's stories. Don't make it happen. Because there's, you know, you can tell stories about Superman. The same story. Believe so. That's not, it doesn't work that way. Even though after a while you tell stories, of course, Mises. But you know, why did I be emphasizing, you know, these human flaws? Because that wasn't the issue. It was internalized. It was a whole different perspective. A whole different perspective, a whole different way of looking at it.
The truth is, there's very similar story.
Before you had a beautiful niggun, let's do another niggun. A little chayas over here, you know. Enough drain a cup over here. This is a chassidish guy, you know, a little varm kite. Now we're getting a niggun.
Let's see.
I want to say, first of all, I want to say Shkayach to Rabbi Eichmann, who was very instrumental in putting this whole thing together, to have a Fabrengi tonight. Chayel is very, very important and made it happen. You know, he's been, he is so persistent, he doesn't let you go. So eventually you have to say yes. You know, you can't, you keep saying no, 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 and then one day you have to say yes, because otherwise it's going to keep bugging you. So that's a big miler in a certain way, in a positive way. And, you know, for the Balabas, you have to be a little more careful. But with a fellow Shliach, you know, as I'm an Asher, you know what I mean? Just to get it done. So I want to just publicly tell him Yishkayach, because not for him, I wouldn't be here tonight, to tell you the truth.
Thank you. Oh, that's because there's actually a
very... doesn't mean it's a big deal that I was here tonight, but that's the fact.
It is a big deal. Let me put it...
I know one person that's happy that I'm here tonight. I know she doesn't hear because she can't hear anything. It's my mother, but she likes to see. She sees my face, that's it. I can see her. She knows. My brother just told her that about her. She's trying to say something, but she's muted. My brother muted her because otherwise, I'd have a thrasher for another 30 minutes.
There's actually a gig in here. One second, trying to put it out. Somebody posted there a gig.
Yes, it's good that you read it, Ma.
Here it is. One second, I'm pulling up. The nigga from the Rebbe. Somebody.
Abad Naamad. Teko b'chaydesh. Nashi kramki. Nayuletza besklamki. Mojna targavati. Mojna targavati. Eitzovas. Tiko b'chaydesh, b'chaydesh ha-shmini, Shoma Yisrael, Eta, 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 Natshka Abay, Aha, Tiko b'chaydesh, b'chaydesh,
In Russian it means Nashi kramki na ulitsa besklamki. You don't hold on to the handle, man, you're out of the door. You gotta get hold on to the handle. Eight sobas, what'd you hear? You came back from the bay and you came back from the Fabrengans. What'd you hear? So tika bachei bachei eta 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 nashka, but that's our life. That's what we heard, man. That's the nekudas apninis of the whole situation. You got to get into it. You got to get into it. If you're not into it, just forget about it. You got to not into it. It's not chabad. Tzadik b'das yichya. Got to get a piece of cake. Go drink a glass of water. That's it, man. You're salt. Go eat up a pot of chont. Get a good kugel. You know, depends kugel. There's six types of kugel. 20 kind kugels. I don't know how many kind. There's a bunch of kugels. Kind of, you know. There's a Shalayim Kugel, there's a Williamsburg Kugel, there's a Morenci Kugel, and there's a Williamsburg Kugel, there's all kinds of Kugels going on. But we want to get it down, there's no Kugel. Chabad, there's no Kugel. Chabad, man, it's work. Get it done, man. It's not an easy process. And sometimes you have Agmas Nefesh, you see some of your work, and it doesn't work. It hurts. Hurts. So you put in effort, it didn't go. Sometimes
sometimes with a balabas, sometimes with a community, sometimes with your own child, your own grandchild, your own child. You see, it doesn't work. You do. Not such a pleasant process. So, you know what you do. You work harder. That's what you do. Story, I got a story today. Someone sent me Alter Rebbe. He said it to me So he went to orphan widows that were captured. You know, in those days he used to capture people and take him for ransom and so forth. So Delta never went to get the ransom. So he told two chassidim went together with Delta Rebbe, and they went to a place, a town, the biggest miser in the town, the guy that gave never a penny to anything, a wealthy man, a gvira, never gave a penny to anything. So they went to the house and knocked the door and came in. Delta Rebbe's here. Oh, yeah, he received him. Royally brought him in, came in, beautiful table, set him up, give him fruit and drink, whatever you want, and all that. You know, what do you want to say? Anything. Al-Tareb said, I care for this and this and this. So, you know, he was known as a big miser. I said, okay, one second. He went back to his safe, came back with a little pouch, and he used to give every single person one penny, a copper penny, that even a poor man had nothing to do with it. Gave Delta Rebbe this penny. He told us even before he went into the house. He said, listen, whatever you do, whatever happens, don't say one single word. Just don't say a word and don't make a sound. Don't say a word, nothing, whatever I'm going to say. The guy gives the person, says, what do you need? He needs 5,000 rubles. Massive amount of money. The guy never gave a penny. He brings out the penny. He says, this is my donation. Delta Rebbe takes the penny. Shabbat says, thank you very much. I can't imagine how happy I am. You did such a big mitzvah. David is going to love you. David cares about you. You care about another Jew. You just gave, you saved, you gave money to save him. Don't worry about it. It's the best thing in the world. You should have the best year ever and ever and ever and ever and ever. And he said, and the guy shakes his hand, and he walks out together with the Siddur. They walked out. He said, the guy gave him nothing. He said, don't say one word. He walks out towards the gate. As he's walking out, the guy comes to the door. He says, please come back in. Come back in. Come back in. He comes back out. He takes out from his pocket. He takes out 1,000 rubles. 1,000 rubles. 1,000 rubles. The guy never gave a penny. 1,000 rubles. Again, you know, the Rebbe says, thank you very much, the best thing you ever did. You can imagine, and not on top of what you did before, you now did even more. The Rebbe loves you even more. You can't imagine what you did. You saved the Jewish family. You saved a widow and orphans. You saved Jewish people. You fulfilled God's purpose in this whole world. You're the most important person now. And he walked away and he got, and walks out. Don't say a word. Guy walks out. The guy said, you know, you got him, I gave you $1,000, but the guy said, I'm not kidding. I can't give you more. The Rebbe Alter says, I told you not to say one word. He walks to the gate, the guy calls him back. Goes back, goes out of pocket, takes out 5,000 rubles. 5,000 rubles. Didn't help the Rebbe. The Rebbe said, the Rebbe thanks him again. Same thing. Chassidim walk out and they said to them, what you do here? It's like a miracle. The guy never gives a penny. He gives one penny to poor people. How'd you get him to do what you did? So he says, let me tell you something. He never felt what it means to do a good thing. Every time he used to give a penny, a person a penny, he said, throw it back in his face. Like you guys wanted me to do. Throw it back in his face. Throw it back in his face. He didn't feel good about it. He didn't feel good about it. He never gave. He says, now, all of a sudden, he starts to feel good about it. That's the nekuda. You gotta make the Jew feel good about it. And if you haven't done it yet, if he still is giving you the penny, it means you didn't make him feel good about it. Anyway, Rabbi Eidechman, since you're the organizer of this whole Fabrengen, maybe it's time for you to get somebody to start Fabrengen a little bit, you know?
Hashem,
sometimes it's enough you hear from one guy already almost 2 hours. So it's enough.
If you're still counting the clock, that means you didn't say enough of the time.
I just looked at my watch just now for the first time.
So I'm saying, if you're still able to make a cheshbon, how long you're talking, it means you're going to say a little more l'chaim.
That's true. You're absolutely right. But at the same time, you know, guys could be falling asleep over there. You never know what's going on. You know, everybody's, you know, here the Fabrengen is still interactive process. You know, Fabrengen, I tell my guys over here, when you're Fabrengen, Fabrengen by me is like this. You let down your hair, and whatever you say in the Fabrengen, it has to remain in the Fabrengen, unless you say things publicly. But if you say things internally in the Fabrengen, whatever stays here happens here, which means it's internalized. This is not that kind of Fabrengen. I don't know who's on this thing. It's on Zoom, it's on this, it's on YouTube, the places, how many people are in the Fabrengen. But there's probably a lot of people in the Fabrengen. So it's a different kind of Fabrengen. It's a more public kind of a forum. So that's why it's important, you know, whatever anybody else has to say, because we're not like this. Chayel, make a difference in your life, man. Just make it happen. It's time already. Let's just get off the case already. Let's get off this manuscript. It doesn't matter. I'm telling you, there's enough money in this world to do whatever you want to do. There's more money than you even think there is. I'm telling you, there's more money. You think, but not my community. You don't even know what's in your community. Every community has got a lot of money. I get money out of the community. It doesn't matter. Forget about that. Just get it done, man. Start being a representative of the Rebbe in the real way. You look at the morning, Maidan Ilufanecha. Learn Chassidus, Aliba D'Nafshe. Think about what you're saying. After you learn your Tanya, think it through. Daven with Kiddush HaMilus. In the next 12 days, just get it done. Let's make it happen. Let's not fool around. It's enough already. It's enough already, guys. Over the top. L'chaim.
Speaking about davening, so we'll put a song here by the Rebbe singing. It was posted on Ashreinu recently. The Rebbe singing here. Hold on 1 second.
Let's see if I can. Oh, let's hear it. Oh, yeah. This will end the Rebbe's Nikonim.
Hold on 1 second.
It's a little over the top over here.
Just a second. Okay. Keep it on.
Yeah.
It's only by the Rebbe that you could find such a nigun with such a freilichkeit, you know, as the Rebbe's old thing, but like Chai Elul, the Chai of Elul, but Shuva, Tech Simcha, everything is besimcha, it's all besimcha, everything besimcha. So, but you talked about before, about the fact that the Rebbe, you know, you talk, go to Balabas and talk to him about the Rebbe, and you go with the Rebbe's Kechas, this is very true, you know, I have Balabas here. Pensacola, Floyd Levin, who's not anything, you know, Rebbe's, Chassidus, whatever, you know, and we brought him to the Rebbe's Oyo, and at the Rebbe's Oyo, that was after he gave $1 million, I got him, I went and asked him for $1 million for, you know, for Chabad in Gainesville, then I was building a building, UF alone, episode of Pensacola, so I'm in touch with him, we were working on that for a while, and when I went over to him and I asked him to give him $1 million, you know, Sposha told him, you know, listen, this is what you're really going to live in this world. You know, you're giving millions here, millions there. This is really, and when we were sitting there by the oil, you know, I told him, listen, you gave $1 million. I asked you to give $1 million to Chabad, and you know, and I usually never give to religious places or whatever. Everywhere he gave in Tilna was only places where there is other things going on, universities, this, that. So I said, you deserve that I should give you a dollar from the Rebbe. And I explained to him how precious it is, a dollar from the Rebbe for me. And I was able to get a lot of dollars. And it's not something that I'm just giving away like this. But I said, because I went to you and I asked you, and you were ready to do it for the Rebbe, you know, I want to give you a Rebbe's dollar. And I gave him dollar the Rebbe. And then he went through the Enemachla. He had, you know, stage 4 in the lungs, and, you know, and you know, went to him and gave him pillen and put mezuzahs in his house. And, you know, and he always told me that he always, whenever he went to treatment, this, he always made sure to have the Rebbe's dollars in his pocket. And This is a guy, he doesn't understand what Rebbe is, which is frustrating, what's, you know. But, you know, when you go with Stoltz and you understand you represent the Rebbe, and it's not about whether it makes sense or doesn't make sense. You're talking from Yunishama to Yunishama, and that's what it takes. But listen, it's and we are sitting here, you know, you said you're almost talking for 2 hours, but the fact there is a, you know, close to 100 people or more, you know, on the Zoom, the YouTube, it means that people want to hear. So l'chaim, l'chaim, you know, take a l'chaim and go on.
I just want to just mention one thing that you mentioned before, that the Rebbe with that's nesich, so there's a very interesting perspective here. You know, many times the Rebbe went on for sometimes for minutes. You know, like, you know, people walked in and said, what is this? This like a guy's yelling. It's that they say, they don't get it. The continuity of it, there's a psychological reality there. When you do that, it's like a mantra. All of a sudden, it touches you something deeply. I noticed that while they were singing this niggin, every time, all of a sudden, the guys who are on this Zoom, they got into it. There's such a thing as Inyanov of the Gilus, Hergel Nasateva, the Gilus. It affects the internal structure. Maisa affects essence. When you, these Nagunim, they touch something very close to the source. The Rebbe, Rabbi Groner called me one time in the early times, and he said to me that Rebbe said that we should send the music into the prisons. You know, you weren't allowed to have tape recorders in the prisons. So we had to manufacture tape recorders. At that time, there were 50 federal prisons. So we manufactured 50 tape recorders that could only play, but could not record. Couldn't even send anything that could record. And the Rebbe said to send in Nigunim without words. Nigunim without words. Touches, because like the Friedrich says, that language is the expression of the mind. Sometimes the tooth gives us the mind, the heart, and Nagina is expression of the heart and the soul. It touches something deeper. So in the Rebbe, the continuity of the Nagina, it's all of a sudden, you enter into a different space. It touches something. Everything that Rebbe did was not just arbitrary, you know. It wasn't a noise. Together with the Simcha, there was a very potent force here that was taking place. And it's operational. Ask psychologists, they'll tell you. It actually affects internally. It was the head of the curve in every single aspect of life. He was took us to the next level in the practicality of it. Everything we did, he took us to the next level. Next level. That was the key. So, anyways, since we're already been in a little while, and I guess you for allowing me to participate, it's very important. Fabreng and Chayel, Tuba El, Tamirin, etc. Tom Tim Hashem Lekecha, as we'll say, Das Ersim Echuba, the thing, the soup thing sings up the Echuba. The first thing of Echuba is Tom Tim Hashem Lekecha, that you have to be who you are, Tom, you got to be who you are, man. Chassidus is the biggest compliment about Chassidus, that you have to be what's happening, whoever you are, that's who you are. The guy sees you, that he knows who you are. You are a shliach of the Rebbe. You represent the boss. You represent the representative of the Eberstift of this generation. That's it. You are the guy. You, simple you, the Yankel Baruch Shmetl, battle, whether you're in Tallahassee, whether you're in in Miami, whether you're in Timbuktu, whether you're in Jerusalem, and you represent the Rebbe. It's big time. You're big time. You hit the big time. It's a gift. It's a gift of gifts. Over the top gifts. Can't even imagine the level of gift that it is. Can't imagine. I can't imagine it in my own life. Sometimes I pinch myself and say, this simple yid could have been some schmandrickle walking through the world like anybody else. You know, more successful, less successful. And sounds, all of a sudden you are representative of the Rebbe. It's crazy. It's much crazy. It's not normal to think about this chusim that we have, the mila that we have. Don't take it for granted. It's not a business opportunity. This is not a choice of, you're making a choice of what you want to do for a living. This is a high level position. This is a highly responsible position. So high el is being the highest and el, the highest and anil, day to day. And that the rest of el, Mr. Hashem, should transform our lives in a positive way. And in Mr. Hashem, everything should be over the top. So if anybody else wants to continue for bringing, Mr. Hashem, you should continue to Fabrengen.
You know, you're talking about I remember one time I was sitting here with a guy with my banker in my office, who was a little upset. Like, you know, we went moved from the old Chabad house to the new Chabad house, and we had to sell the old Chabad house, so it sat down for a while, and the mortgage was collected. We didn't pay the mortgages, it got very upset, and you know, whatever. And the guy called me to make a meeting to talk to me about this. So he came to me in the meeting, and I didn't know what to tell him because I sold him this story, is that you're going to pay, you're going to do it. I know there's nothing to say. So I showed him the picture of the Rebbe. I said, see this guy, this is the Rebbe. You know, we are here shluchim with the Rebbe. And I was just telling him, listen, what are we here for? The mission, I had nothing to tell him. You know, so I told him that's, and it worked. It worked. This is a guy. So we have to, realize that that's who we are, and you see with the boss, you see with the whatever, when you really live it and tell people, this is what the story is, this is who we are, and this is what we're here for, you know, it works. But I'll tell you like this, you're here, I know you're talking for 2 hours, but the fact is, as long as there are not, less than 30 people here, so you have close to 100 people after midnight sitting here, it means that the chaver wants to hear. The guys are thirsty. Guys are the midbar shmoma today out here, and Chai Elul comes, and we want to know what's the, it says 12 days into El, you make a chash benefesh every day from starting in Chai Elul on Tishrei, Cheshvan, Kislev. You know, but I want to ask you, what does it practically mean? Do we remember what we did Elul? Do we remember what we did Tishrei? Who remembers what they did? Like, you don't keep cheshbon, see whatever. You don't see, you don't even have time to sit and think what we did, this, that. What's the practical meaning of, getting ready for Rosh Hashanah, 12 days of Elul, every day of cheshbon nefesh for another chedesh?
I'm going to give a brief, just a one word. One word, that's the nekuda. And the kud is to bring a chayis into a nivu day to daily. You compare it. Say you're going to daven for the next 12 days. I told you before. It's a simple thing. Just check it out, man. This is not the esoteric stuff. This is not trying to put together a puzzle. Get down the simple factors. I'm telling you, it works. Simple thing. How are you going to daven tomorrow morning? And so on. And don't forget, before we finish, don't forget to make a bracha chreina. And we make a bracha chreina. Say, know what you're saying. Baruch Hashem, whatever the case is, whatever bracha you're making. That's the key. Chayis. Anyway, we'll do it again. We'll bring again the more. I'm not trying to finish up because I push it. I promise somebody something here. So, I told him that, 11:30, 12 o'clock, now it's already 12:35 at 12:40, so I'm behind schedule a little bit, But it's a shamble, we'll bring again. You know, this is, we're a chassidim, we're one family. You know, you have to put on the
thing. I want to tell you about the Tanya thing, you know, that the sessions we made about Tanya. So, first of all, the Nigunim, about the Nigunim, we were sitting with students, it's Friday night, and we were playing, and we sang Nigunim, and this guy is sitting there, student, and he said, I need another Nigun, I need another Nigun. Like, he's like, you see, like, he needs it. The Pashut, and now I was talking to someone today, another student who walked in this morning, and they used to ask a lot of questions about Tanya and about the other Rebbe, and I find out, really, our sessions with the other Shluchim about Tanya was really helpful to, you know, to be able to convey the message in a much more practical and positive way. I found myself surprised. So I want to let you know, just as it impacts, Baruch Hashem, Shkoyach. It wasn't the three sessions.
That's very nice. We should continue to do it. And we should bring, I think, you know, you have a good idea. We should bring it a little bit more often. You know, it doesn't have to be every day or every week, but should bring more often. But a little bit enough. Guys want to get together. And guys should speak and talk about what's going on in their life and how we can better our existence. And the kudda that's relevant to that period of time, because every period of time is relevant. Like, to me, as I said earlier, Chai Yisrael, there's the theoretical stuff, all that. It's very important. Everything is critical. But Chai Yisrael means life. Your life has to be a different life. That's the Chai. To bring your Chaius into it, to be your life into El, not to bring a life force into El, to bring your life into an El experience. Yeah, that's the Kudu. It's a whole different process. It's an internalized process. That's the difference Chabad and Chagas. That's it. Anyway, Chaim Eden, thank you very much.
Anyways, you know, your mother is here. Your mother must be in her 90s or something. That she's still here so at night listening. I mean, she trusts you.
My mother can hear her, Dave. She should give her a Yom HaShem tape. She doesn't hear a word you're saying. Because she's totally, unfortunately, she's totally deaf. She doesn't know one single word you're saying.
Wow.
But she's thinking that what they're saying. Wow. But Kaneda Hadith is almost 100. Not yet. But Dave should give her a Rechaz Yom HaShem Tevis.
Amen.
And she attributes her longevity. You know, my mother says a very important thing. You know, she's the kind of person that she lost everybody that you could lose in your life. She lost her parents, she lost her husband, she lost her brothers, she lost her child, she lost everybody that a person could lose in their life, she lost. So there was a lot of pain in her life in that sense.
You and Chai, that my young Chai start to shake.
Anyway. Yes, you gotta mute her. So my mother says that the reason that she has that Echis Yom HaShem Tevis is because when she was a little child, her little girl, she was 4 or 5 years old, and the Chilik Rebbe was leaving Russia. So my Zayda was very much involved over there. In fact, the Chilik Rebbe gave him papers to hold when in Leningrad. My grandfather was in Leningrad at that time. So before they left Russia, when he was banished to 1927, so he took my mother, she was a little girl, to the Rebbe for a bracha. So the Rebbe put his, my mother says, he put his holy hand on my head. The Rechidik Rebbe put her hand and she gave her a bracha for Arich HaShem. So she attributes her Arich HaShem for the fact that the Rechidik Rebbe gave her that bracha. So that's the fact of life and so forth. So, and the fact of life also is that we have a shaykhus, a very close shaykhus with the Rebbe, because the Rebbetzin Chana, she was on the transport coming out of Russia together with my family, with my father and my mother, my grandparents. They carried me out in a suitcase. I was just born in Tashkent. To go through the border. So he was born. Levinson was with us at that time. So my father was very much involved with Levinson's coming out and to get through. There was nobody there except for there was nobody there. A lot of very interesting stories. Levinson had a little suitcase. So Rabbi Mendel, I don't know if the safe in Toronto, their son is the head of Tzach in Eretz Yisrael. That's right. Rabbi, I don't know if he was a single bacher, Rabbi Bacher, so he took the Rebbetzin suitcase to carry it. Later on, they found out that in that suitcase was the shefer of the Tzemach Tzedek, and one of the, some of the Sfarim from the Atlantic, who was the Xavier Atbache and the Zehad, as you know, and some other things. So when the Chassidim found out that this suitcase has these things, so the big Chassidim said they'll carry it. So the Rebbe says, no, no. He carried it when he didn't know it was there, so let him carry it. So there was always a matzeva in that way. So my father's matzeva, my father is by the Rebbe's in Montefiore. So my father's matzeva. So in those years, my father passed away. The Toshman Ches, the same year, the Rebbe's. So my father's mother, Levison, passed away in Chavez Shvat. My father passed away in Chavez Tishrei. So my father's mother says, "Ozer Harbe Batzolus Imay Shekvay Tusha Moshe Lita." So in those years, the Matzevas, the Chavakanish used to put it into the Rebbe to okay it. So we have a special cyphers that way, the other as well. So that's my name. So it's part of that. That transport.
Chaim. Shalom Tevis. Zohar Rabbi Shlichus and build project. It should be the Malam Midas Teva. Accomplish it, complete it, and see a lot of nachos.
Amen. Zagizunt. Have a very good night, everybody.
I'm fine.
Thank you very much again. I appreciate it.